This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Okay, good morning. I'll now call the South Dakota Senate State Affairs Committee to order and apologize to those that were waiting for this particular committee hearing. The House run over, a little over a half hour over. So I want to welcome everyone that's in attendance and all of those that have joined us on the Internet. And I would like to remind everyone to please turn their electronic devices off, or if nothing else, put them on wiggle so we don't have any disruptions. At this time, I would ask the Secretary to call a roll call.
Senator Boland. Here. Greenfield. Here. Heinert. Kennedy. Here. Langer.
Here.
Novstrup.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Klum.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Eight present.
Okay, we do have a quorum. We don't have to any approval of minutes, as this is our very first meeting for this session. Would remind all the testifiers to please sign in legibly at the podium back there if you intend on testifying today. Make sure you're wearing your badges. And if you have any handouts, I would ask that you give those to our able pages to be distributed to the committee. Please direct all your testimony and questions through the chair. At this time, we'll ask our, I guess we've got one page in room, a couple pages, all right? If you want to come forward to the mic up here and introduce yourself and tell us what your future plans are once you graduate.
My name's Natalie Fawcett. I'm a senior here in Pierre, and my plan is to enlist part-time in the Air Guard.
Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Choate. I am a senior at Elk Point Jefferson High School, and I plan to get my law degree at USD.
Okay. Thank you, guys, for being here and assisting us in our duties here this morning. I've been asked to defer Senate Bill 45, which is our second bill today, to Friday, but I would like to ask if there's anyone that traveled from out of town that's here among us today that was going to testify on behalf of that bill. Okay, seeing none, we will be deferring Senate Bill 45 to our agenda on Friday. So at this time, we will take up Senate Bill 3. The title is to revise certain provisions regarding documents of the legislature. And Senator Greenfield, I assume you're going to start this game for us. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2. My hometown is Clark. I have before you today a bill that came out of the executive board. You'll notice the list of co-sponsors, Greenfield, Boland, Ewing, Heinert, Langer. Those are members of this board who have heard these issues before, and then Stalzer and White were the other senators who are familiar with these issues. It was brought to our attention that as part of essentially our cleanup efforts relative to our legislative article or legislative chapter, that we could address these issues as is done in this bill and bring some of those elements into our red book. And so I'll touch on this briefly. I'm also aware that there's an amendment regarding, if I'm not mistaken, Section 5. And I view that as a friendly amendment based upon the discussions that I've had. So with that, you'll notice that we're repealing a number of elements contained within our current statute. And again, those things would be addressed by virtue of Red Book rules, Senate and joint resolution, or Senate and joint rules. You'll also notice that there's a little bit of a rewrite of in Section 3. It says a bill or joint resolution may be introduced by any committee of either house of the legislature at the request of the governor, etc. The committee must receive a written request for the introduction from the governor, department head of an executive agency, a constitutional officer or board, or the chief justice, and shall retain the request in its file. Bills introduced under this section may be introduced by the chairman of the committee without a vote of the committee for purposes of pre-filing. That's simply to try to streamline things. We're going to be seeing a number of changes to our current system because we've gone to an electronic-based system as opposed to the paper-based system. And so I anticipate that as we go through our red book over time, we'll be readdressing other issues. But for now, I'm going to stand down and let the executive director of the LRC speak to this and provide some more rationale. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and would ask for your support of this legislation once the amendment is put on. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Okay, thank you. Senator Boland, would you be kind enough to offer this amendment so we can get it posted on our board here and continue on?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move Amendment 3A, I believe is the correct designation. And what this does is it, this amendment, if I might, Mr. Chair, just give a brief explanation. Yes, we have 1 second. Is to just to eliminate lines 15 and 16. Line 15 is just that 5, that something 2-7-10 be repealed. Permanent journals as official records of proceedings is line 16. And I've been informed by members of the administration that they believe at times there's been some discrepancies and they would like this the permanent journal to be left as an official record of proceedings. And I don't see any big problem with that at the present time. So I move, I think I've already moved the amendment. That's kind of my pitch for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Senator Boland and seconded by Senator Klum to move Amendment 3A. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Okay, seeing none, at this time we'll take a roll call voice vote. Excuse me. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we will take Director Hancock, if you want to come forward and offer us a little more on this bill, on amended Senate Bill 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to be clear, I'm not signed up as a proponent or an opponent because I don't do proponent or opponent as nonpartisan staff, but I did.
Just to keep us all straight on the bill, the logistics of it.
Right, and to kind of explain, you know, some of the reasons for the executive board having approved this and, you know, why the staff brought this language to them in the first place. So sections 1, 2, and 3 deal with repealing some of the language out of code that has to do with how legislators and interim committees pre-file bills, how the director pre-files bills, and how committees of the legislature introduce bills. Now, we have a section of the Constitution that actually says in Article 3, Section 9, that each house shall determine the rules of its proceedings. So the Constitution puts the legislature in charge of its own internal processes. But when we have those kind of internal processes in code, you know, the legislature, the House and the Senate cannot, you know, by themselves control what is in statute. You know, you need each other. You know, the House needs the Senate to pass something, the Senate needs the House to pass something, and you need the governor to sign something. So, you know, we brought this to the executive board as being some items that should appropriately be in rule rather than in statute. And so you'll actually see that as part of the rules package that the House and Senate will both have later today, is to bring some of this verbiage into rule, which is where the Constitution really contemplates that language being. It retains in Section 3, however, the portions that deal with the pre-filing of agency bills and whatnot, because, you know, that's a process that is not entirely internal to the legislature, so that's left in place. Then Section 4 proposes to repeal joint rule or to repeal 2-7-7. This deals with officers being required to keep the legislative journals and the custody and disposition of bills. All of this is really already provided for in other places. Joint Rule Chapter 10 already requires the Secretary of the Senate and Chief Clerk of the House to keep correct journals and to file them with the Secretary of State. South Dakota Codified Laws 2720 already provides for the handling of bills and filing them with the Secretary of State. So, you know, in this case, we brought this to the board because it was just duplicating things that were elsewhere. So we're just trying to kind of unclutter the code. 2-7-10, which the amendment brought back into place, you know, we had brought to the board for repeal because, again, those provisions were covered in other places. Article 3, Section 13 already requires the House and Senate to keep journals. The Supreme Court has already ignored this statute in the past because they've got the superior authority of that constitutional provision and that constitutional requirement that you keep journals. So the Supreme Court doesn't really look at this section. And Joint Rule 10-1 already requires that they be kept daily and be posted to the web. So, you know, that's why that was in there. Now it's out. And so, you know, it doesn't do any harm, again, because it's just duplicating things that are in other places. South Dakota Codified Laws 2-7-18, dealing with engrossment of bills and amendments. Again, Joint Rule Chapter 6G-4 already requires this, so it doesn't need to be in code. And then 2-7-19, dealing with enrollment, Joint Rule 6G-7 already requires this, so it's a duplication. And then the last item is a requirement that we provide an entire set of all of the codified laws. So, you know, that big long shelf that you see, you know, here in every committee room or every, you know, chamber, we have a lot of them around the building. Legislators could request that we supply them with that, and I think it's north of $1,200. You know, fortunately, we don't have anybody asking for that these days, and really all of the information is available electronically, either through our website or through Westlaw, which you can get access to. So we brought this to the board simply to eliminate that kind of outstanding potential liability that's there. We haven't had legislators really asking for it lately, but, you know, it would be between $100,000 and $200,000 to pay for that if everybody asked for it. And as I said, the information is all already available and out there, so it seemed like it was probably time to put this in front of the board for potential repeal. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. If you could stand by for possible questions later, we would appreciate it. Thank you for your clarification on the bill. At this time, we'll take further proponent testimony on amended Senate Bill 3. Seeing none, we will offer it up for opponent testimony. Good morning, sir. You have the floor once you're seated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nathan Sanderson. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Retailers Association. I'm an opponent to Senate Bill 3 because I'm a strong proponent for open government, transparency, and a really good legislative process.
Now, I would say I'm very, very supportive, strongly supportive of cleaning up our statutes and cutting redundant sections of the code. I worked in a former administration, and we brought dozens and dozens of bills that cut hundreds of thousands of words from the code. I'm there. It's a good practice to review what we have on the books periodically and clean it up from time to time. And when we're talking about policies, when we're talking about education policies or criminal justice policies or what have you, that is absolutely the mark of good government. But when we talk about revising the very processes of making those policies, our procedure for actually crafting the laws that all of us as citizens have to live under, we have to do this with extreme caution. And I would submit that this bill does not cut redundancies. It weakens the legislature as a body, it reduces transparency, and it's going to open our state to more bureaucracy. South Dakota right now has among the best bill-making processes in the country. It's often touted for the process that we go through. Every bill gets a hearing. We have to have a two-thirds vote for tax and fee increases. Our processes are in statute so that we know how a bill is going to go through the legislative process. There's no pocket vetoes by a member of a committee or a committee chairman, for instance. Every bill gets a hearing. It's not perfect, but it's pretty doggone good. And the proponent of this bill talks about this being cleanup, that we're fixing issues, that these are internal processes. I would submit to you that this is a very public process. Just take a look at the bill on its face. We are repealing how we pre-file bills. We're repealing from statute the numbering, the printing. We're repealing from statute the process for a committee introducing bills. This bill proposes that we don't have the officers of the legislature keep legislative journals. The amendment is good. I support the amendment, but I would urge you to kill the bill entirely. You know, we're repealing from statute the process of enrolling and engrossing our bills. This is the at the heart of what we do here. The proponent would say that it's redundant because it's in rule. Well, I would offer an example. Last week, there was a legislative procedure hearing where two new joint rules were proposed and 15 joint rule amendments were brought forth. The members of the public could see the agenda, but no members of the public could see what the amendments were. This is in rule. And so the difference between a statute and a rule is fundamentally that involvement of the public in the process. All of our bills are up on the system. Members of the public can see what those are. There are certainly quirks with the new system, but I would say that this is not an attack on the new system. I think there are a lot of really good things on there that have an opportunity to get better. There are bugs to be worked out, but that is absolutely progress. But you don't have to cut these things out of the code to implement that new system. Not at all. Just one other anecdote. You know, there are a lot of things that are going on right now with process changes. The 17 joint rules, the proposal to entirely rewrite the administrative rules section, the at least five legislative bills to repeal things from statute and put them into rule or leave them with existing rule, a bill that changes on the system that if you look as a member of the public at this very bill, you don't even know the text that is being repealed. You don't even know. The addition of catch lines into bills, brand new. All of these things and more are new processes. Great. If there are process improvements to be made, I am there. I support process improvements. This is not a process improvement. Final thing that I would mention. We've got a lot of changes in the legislature with term limits, a lot of turnover. You've seen a lot of turnover with Legislative Research Council staff, including the pending departure of the Legislative Research Council Executive Director. Last year during the legislative session, during a conference committee with a number of experienced members of the legislature and LRC staff in the room, I was asked the proper motion to make to get a bill out of a conference committee to take it to the floor. Now, hey, we all get involved in stuff, and some of these are quirks and nuances that are really down in the weeds. But the basic part of our legislative procedure was unknown to some members of the body and to members of your very own staff. I would submit to you that removing these things from statute does not improve that process. And I would encourage you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further opponent testimony.
Good morning, sir. Once you're seated, introduce yourself. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. My name is David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association, and I won't be redundant because I think the previous testifier did an excellent job of laying out the arguments to this bill that we align ourselves with as well for the Newspaper Association. Primarily this, I don't think this bill is a good open government bill. I don't think this is a good bill for transparency. I think this bill goes too far, too fast, and I would just urge you to take in serious consideration what you heard from the previous testifier regarding these issues. I think by moving these issues, albeit redundant, moving these issues from statute into a red book rules process reduces the ability for the public, for the citizens of South Dakota, those who aren't here every day, to understand what's going on up here. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think you should be looking to do the opposite. I applaud the work that's going on to move to transform toward a new system. I think that's where we are needed to be headed. But I think we need to slow down here a bit and give some more contemplation to this. And I think this bill goes too fast, too far. And I would urge you to reject the bill at this time. I appreciate the repeal of the Section 5 of this bill, but also I would align with the other sections, including Section 4. I still think that's a significant issue that we do not want to see repealed. So with that, I will stand by. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any further opponent testimony? Further opponent testimony? Good morning, ma'am. Once you're seated, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I've taken my lobbyist badge off. Allow me to simply offer a perspective as a lawyer who's been in the legislative hallways with you for a great many years, and to offer a different perspective. My perspective comes from the view of the rules of legislative construction. I loved legislation in law school as a course and have had to use the rules of legislative construction here. It concerns me greatly the way this bill is drafted and the intent behind it that you may lose the ability to defend certain parts of the system if you handle the bill this way. I would urge caution. I think many of us in the hallways are really struggling to know what to tell our clients about how to interact with you right now, given the massive change that's coming. I don't know that the complete electronic system is going to be seamless or understandable to a lot of the public that comes to you without people like me trying to help them out in this process. So I would urge caution and would also urge you to vote against the bill today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further opponent testimony on amended Senate Bill 3. Further opponent testimony. Seeing none, I will offer it up to the proponents for a rebuttal. Senator Greenfield, once you're seated, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Once again, I'm Brock Greenfield from Clark. As I said, this was a product of the executive board, and I guess based upon the testimony, I'm still not 100% sure what the problems are. We heard about a conference committee that took place last year, at which time lobbyists had to offer advice as to how to proceed with a motion. That's under the old system. Nothing would change whether or not we pass this bill. If the testimony offered, if that's what we're hanging our hats on, I'd say there's really nothing that's been concrete that's been offered in terms of how this will create a problem. We're speculating. And we're also saying, well, yeah, we acknowledge that there are redundancies, but maybe we need to keep them in place for just a little bit longer. I'm not 100% sure why we'd do that. We wholly embraced the red tape review process back in the day. And our executive director and presumably cold counsel have come forth with these as proposals, given our our march into the new era with electronics and what have you. And I don't think the sky is going to fall if this passes. And I don't see it as being something that's an impediment to open government in any way. If a person wants to see what's being repealed, all that person has to do is navigate through the Legislative Research Council's website, go to codified laws and see what sections are being contemplated as subject to repeal, and they can read them all. It's simply a streamlining of processes, and I would very much urge your support of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thought you kicked the bucket there for a minute. Thank you. I'm going to close the public testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for discussion or action. Senator Boland.
A question for Mr. Sanderson.
Okay. Go ahead and pose your question.
Thank you. Is it accurate to say that your real concern here is moving from the having these procedures in law or in the code, and now it seems as if we're going to put them into legislative rule? Is that the heart of the argument that you're making against this bill as amended?
Mr. Chairman, I say in short, yes, because as I mentioned in testimony, the public doesn't have the opportunity very often to see the text of the proposed amendments to the joint rules or anybody's rules. I'll harken back to the legislative procedure hearing from last week. An agenda was posted with 17 items on it. The first two were new joint rules. The remaining 15 were amendments to the existing joint rules. Those weren't posted on the website anywhere. They were unavailable for public review. No one had any idea what those amendments were going to be until they were involved in the committee. Now, to the committee's credit, the committee had asked for comments from the public after each one of those things. Absolutely happened. But the rules-making process doesn't mirror the statutory process in any real way when it comes to what the public has the ability to see and interact with. So that's a lengthy way of saying, yes, I would say that is the heart of my concern.
Okay. So just a brief follow-up. So is it then it would be your position that it's imperative that legislative rules be in statute rather than handled through the Red Book procedure? Would that be accurate?
Mr. Chairman, no, there I would disagree with you, Senator. So, for instance, House Bill 1001 has 7 different provisions in it that do a similar kind of thing, pull stuff out of statute and propose to put it into rule, right? So, like, the first one is in House Bill 1001, I promise it's relevant to this discussion, it would pull out of statute the time and place when the legislature seeks to meet. That's in the Constitution. It's in Article 3 of the Constitution. That is truly redundant between the Constitution and statute, no question. Section 6 and 7 of that bill propose to repeal out of statute the legislative intern program. That I don't think needs to be in statute. My understanding from a different senator, is that it was put in statute because there was conflict with having an internship program or not, and so it was put into statute to ensure that had continuity going forward. Well, I don't think that whether you have an internship program or whether you don't is fundamental to the building blocks of government. But I would submit to you that how we file bills and what happens with them in committee and the enrolling and engrossing process is fundamental to this process. No, not all of your legislative rules need to be in statute. But the ones that have to do with how we make laws that citizens have to live under, I think deserves to be in statute.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Langer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Executive Director Hancock.
Go ahead and pose your question.
Can you just tell me briefly how this got to where it is now, what the rationale was to get to this point?
Sure.
sure, Mr. Chairman and Senator Langer, this was something that it was a review that the staff was doing because we were rewriting the system. And so we knew that that was going to require some statutory changes in some places and some rule changes in some places. So we did a complete review of our statutes and our rules. And, you know, when we were looking through there, you know, we found these various things where we had these redundancies, and felt like with the Constitution saying that each house shall determine the rules of its proceedings, you know, not the House and the Senate and the governor acting together through the lawmaking process, but each house, that there were certain internal procedures that had crept into code over the years that really didn't belong in code under the Constitution, because you've essentially it's putting it in code makes it a delegation that the Constitution does not contemplate. It gives the authority to the House and the Senate to set their own rules as to how they operate. And so that's why we included some of these things in here. And, you know, frankly, in many cases, they're duplicated in different places. They're duplicated in code. They're duplicated in the Constitution. They're duplicated in rule. And we don't need to say these things over and over again.
Go ahead on your follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What would your rebuttal be to Mr. Sanderson's concerns about not having the way our bills are filed in statute?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Langer, I think it's very clear in the Red Book rules how bills are handled. All of the same provisions you see about how bills are handled and how they're engrossed and how they're enrolled and they're transmitted to the governor and they're transmitted to the Secretary of State. You see all of those provisions elsewhere. I don't see really anything about that process changing because the provisions are in place. As far as the transparency of the joint legislative procedures process, that's something that's certainly, you know, within that committee's purview. If they want to change how they do business, if they want to post those proposals out sooner, put them on the website, we just need to have the word that that's what the committee wants. You know, I think a chair can order that anytime he or she wants to.
Okay, any further follow-up? Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question would be for Mr. Sanderson.
Go ahead and pose your question, sir.
Good morning, sir. I guess my question to you would be, are you concerned that if we take this out of statute and put it strictly to rule, that the number of people who would make the decision to change the rules would then be smaller, and maybe the debate on changing a rule or, you know, removing this from statute would be less or less transparent to the public?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I think in a nutshell, yes. I mean, I think the comment that was just made was, well, the committee gets to decide whether the public gets to see the amendments and when. I mean, I think that very much makes my argument. You know, right now, if you're going to make a change to the process, how we introduce a bill, I mean, hey, we can have a conversation about the actual policies, right? Pro, con, no problem. Let's do that. But we have a system in this state that works remarkably well. And what we're proposing to do is take it from a source that is relatively secure, meaning we're going to have public comment, debate, such as we're having right now, right? And you're moving it into a realm that doesn't afford those same opportunities to the public. That's not open government. That's not transparency. And I don't see how our process is the better for that.
Okay. Any further questions, discussion? Senator Kennedy.
Thank you. A question for Mr. Hancock, please.
ahead and pose your question, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Hancock, I'm looking at Article 3, Section 9 of the Constitution that you referenced, and it says that each house shall determine the rules of its proceedings. My question is, if we adopt this particular bill and place everything in rule instead of statute, going forward, couldn't we have a situation where each house might have different rules?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
And Senator Kennedy, both houses have different rules right now. That's the yellow part and the blue parts of the red book. Could they differentiate on more things? Yeah, they could. And they could do that now. Could they differentiate on fewer things? They could do that too. The each house thing, allows each house to set its own rules, but it also allows them to agree on things too, which is why, the pink part of the red book is the largest part. Those are all the things that the House and Senate have agreed on.
Follow up?
Go ahead on your follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But the rules that are in statute bind both houses. Neither house can modify them, correct?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kennedy, not by themselves, no. And nor can the legislature by itself.
No, it would have to go through.
Because it has to go through the governor as well, which is not contemplated by Article 3, Section 9.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions, discussion, motions? Senator Langer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know who wants to answer this, but I'm trying to figure out in my head what problem we're trying to fix. As far as the way the system runs and the concerns that we're hearing, are we creating more issues for ourselves than leaving it the way it is?
Okay, I think Senator Greenfield has graciously accepted the challenge to answer your question.
Sure. The system as it is requires that we file paper bills at the desk after they've been jacketed. And it sounds to me like the fundamental objection is with our new process. I'm telling you, the new process is here presumably to stay. It'll be tweaked, but we're done with the jacketed bills and what have you. And so... And right now, we're still operating under temporary rules that haven't changed any of the rules. I mean, we're going to be voting on that later today, but I think this is just simply a reflection of the changing times, and therefore I don't know if we kill this. Are we going to then say to LRC, strike everything that's been done, trot out the paper, get the yellow and blue jackets ready to go, and go back to the old system? Moreover, with respect to the amendment process, nothing has changed in function. We amended a bill here today in committee after I mentioned, hey, I know there's a friendly amendment coming, so on and so forth. Everybody was made aware of what exactly that did. And that's exactly how it would have been handled in the past, only we didn't have the mass distribution of paper. But everybody knows that it can be accessed and where it can be accessed. And I would also note that I stated before, if you wanted to find out what section of law is being repealed, that you could navigate the LRC system. Every one of these references to the code is hyperlinked. It's hot linked. So 2-7-4, where it talks about that being repealed, all I have to do is click on that and I can read the text. I don't even have to go and fumble around through the LRC's web page. It's all right there. So I think in answer to your question, Well, I'm not sure what the problem is with the new system. Recognizing that, yes, there will be glitches that have to be ironed out, but this is the way of the future, I think, in South Dakota, in the South Dakota legislature. And much the same as when I was an intern, there were 8 laptops available. It was a trial run. To some extent, this is going to be a trial year and a trial run as we try to figure things out. But over time, they introduced laptops into the system for everyone. And I think now we're going to introduce the new system in which we're wholly reliant on technology whenever it's available.
Follow-up question, Senator Langer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with everything that the previous speaker just stated, except for the fact of changing it from statute to rule instead. I mean, I guess that would be more my question. Yes, we're going to go forward with technology, and I have no problem with that, but why would we, what is the benefit of taking it out of statute and putting it into rule?
Senator Greenfield.
I don't want to sound flippant, but 15 out of 15 members on the executive board heard this and voted for this after having the testimony. Now we've had some lobbyists state their concerns, and I think it's been stated that ultimately their concern is with the new system. And so I'm here to say I believe the new system is in place and is going to remain in place, and it's time to adjust our laws accordingly. I don't think this in any way hampers open government. I think that it actually enhances it. I think it makes things more readily available to the public, whether you're sitting in a committee room or whether you're sitting in Dolan, South Dakota, following along online as the audio plays and you're clicking and navigating through the website.
Okay, Senator Klum, you have comments?
I have a question. Senator Greenfield, we heard in testimony that could this lead to a pocket veto type situation, which we don't have today? Could that kind of thing originate by moving this from statute to rule? I don't want that to happen. As we see these kind of things, is it going to be easier for that to develop because it would be a statute changing process? It would simply be a rule changing process.
Senator Greenfield, I'm going to kind of, at my discretion, we have made comments that we feel those that oppose this bill were for a reason and maybe not the reason that we're discussing here. So I want to ask Mr. Sanderson to come forward and restate your position, if it's with the new system or if you have specifics otherwise. If you just briefly let us know what your...
Mr. Chairman, Nathan Sanders with the Retailers Association. I don't think whether you pass this bill or not has anything to do with the implementation of your electronic system. Zero. As it's been proposed, you would just take these statutes and put them into rule. So theoretically, they would be identical. I don't see that the removal of these statutes or the keeping of the statutes would inhibit, change, hinder in any way, shape, or form what you do with your electronic system. This has nothing to do with that. What this does have to do with is making it easier to amend the process. And that is what I believe Senator Klum was getting to. Who knows the various ways that it could theoretically be changed, but it would undoubtedly be easier to do so.
Okay, thank you. Senator Greenfield, did you want to continue on?
Mr. Chair, thank you, and thank you for the question. I guess what I'm here to say is 3 years ago, there was a move afoot to restrict lobbyist access to the floor of the Senate and the floor of the House. And the senators decided that we probably weren't interested in doing that after having heard an overwhelming outpouring of an outcry from the lobbyists as to why that wasn't appropriate. To suggest that taking something out of statute and putting it in the rules is going to pave the way for some kind of nefarious activity, I think completely turns its back on the reality of the situation, that everything remains open and we still remain just as accessible and as responsive to what we hear from the lobbyists, just the same as their access wasn't restricted by the body by virtue of policy, we would not exercise a pocket veto. We have agreed and have a long-standing history that in South Dakota, it's important that ideas get heard. This is one of those ideas. We can conflate the issue all we want and talk about the boogeymen that we see potentially lurking around the corner. I'm here to say whether these things are repealed and some remain in the Constitution, some would be placed in statute, or I'm sorry, in the rule book, I don't think the sky is going to fall. And I think the previous testifier said that too, that whether or not this passes or fails, it's business as usual. We follow a different process, but it's just as accessible and easy to remain involved in that process as ever.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? If not, I would entertain some type of a motion one way or the other. Go ahead, sir. And Senator Heiner, you have the floor.
Since we're in the questioning time, I'll form it as a question. And I guess it'd be to the good senator. I think we've talked about two different issues right now. One is the actual removal of this from statute and into rule and possibly some issues that could come from that. But in statute, I mean, you alluded to earlier that about the jacketing process and that's more of a system issue with that, and it would be easier to change that in rule because of the new system, and as we tweak this and monitor it, then we can change it to when we deliver these and how the journals are printed and blah blah blah. Am I correct in assuming that that's what you're talking about, that there are two separate issues that we're trying to get to? One is the actual physical process of who gets what when, and one is doing this through rule.
Senator Greenfield, I believe the question was directed towards you.
I'll try to, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to answer that. I didn't know what the testimony was going to bring out, what have you. I've tried to address the issues on the fly. I think that as I alluded to just a moment ago, I think it's assuming that there's going to be a flaw in the system going forward. But yes, to the extent, I mean, to answer your question, I think that's probably accurate. I may have misdiagnosed exactly what was being testified to, but I think as I've also alluded to in rebuttal testimony, some of what's been alluded to in testimony refers to the existing process. And if the existing process is flawed, well, it's time to move forward. And so I don't know if you're thinking we should hold on to this and you know, maybe try to work on it. But what I would say is, you know, we've through the executive board process and whatnot, we've heard it and thought, well, there's validity to the issues that are being brought forward. We didn't exactly anticipate the parade of horribles that has, you know, been brought up here today. But I don't see the reason for just summarily dismissing this because of the testimony. I think we can figure out a way to navigate forward. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Heiner.
And I appreciate that answer. And I guess, you know, before we make a motion, if you'll indulge me just a minute or kind of my thought process, which is scary, I understand. I do think that there is some validity to looking at the process piece of this, you know, the actual how bills and journals and all of that, because we're in the new system. If we were to make a motion and to vote on this as is, even though I'm on the bill, I do understand the concern about removing it from statute, because I think it is more difficult to change the actual how bills get filed when it's in statute rather than in rule. Because I don't want to see the House, as we come together for joint rules, and maybe we just can't agree anymore on this is how bills will be filed. So the House does one way, the Senate does this way that works for us, and now we're clashing. When it's in statute, that's going to be more difficult to do. But I also want to see there be a mechanism available to us right now as we work through the actual process of all of the things that this bill addresses. So I don't know if we hold off on this bill and, you know, look at it, but if we were to vote today as to whether to remove this from statute, I would, even though I'm on the bill, I would have to vote no right now. So before we make a motion, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. Any further discussion? Questions? Senator Greenfield.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and I appreciate the comments, and I understand that. And maybe we should hold it over and let some time pass. I wanted to mention, 2 years ago, Senator Haverly brought forth an idea that the Senate embraced and the House chose not to, and that was whether or not to establish a Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. After we did that, then the House the following year said that worked out pretty well. Let's go ahead and do that. So from time to time, I mean, there are differences in processes even now. That's why you have the yellow section and the blue section of the book. I don't think you'd see sea changes in terms of actual process with respect to filing bills and whatnot, but I understand the concern. The other point, though, that I guess has been somewhat understated and perhaps lost in this is the Constitution gives us dominion over our legislative process. Right now, we pass a bill, and it has to go to the governor's desk for his or her signature. And that's not how it was laid out in the Constitution. I heard from the governor's office as to the concern that they had relative to the journals, and I understood that. The fact of the matter is, I don't know if this allays their concern that we've now taken that portion out, but the fact of the matter is, were we to pass this bill, it would still be subject to gubernatorial approval or veto. And that doesn't make us an autonomous body with sole dominion of our rule or of our processes. And this would change the process entirely and give us more authority and make us a stronger body, arguably. So, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to fall on my sword over a vote here today. This has been good conversation. I really do think so. And the fact that we're thinking about things, being, you know, introspective and whatnot, I'm good. I'm fine with that. And if you would see fit to hold it over, I don't think we have to hold it over to Friday or even next Monday or Wednesday. I think, okay, you have an idea, Mr. Chair, and I'll defer to your wisdom.
Okay, I think due to the discussion we've had here that there is maybe more discussion that would like to take place. So I think we will hold off on taking any action on this bill at this time, and we're not going to schedule to any definite date. It will be indefinite. We will deal with it here sometime during session, but we will hold off for and defer Senate Bill 3 from final disposition. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Senate State Affairs this morning? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned.